The world is passing away, and the kingdom of God is at hand. I have to apologize a little bit. I'm celebrating both this Mass and the 9:15. So I'm taking my reflections from the readings from Novus Ordo. And in the Gospel for the Novus Ordo, it is the Lord walking along the Sea of Galilee and calling his disciples. John the Baptist had proclaimed a message of repentance, but he was arrested, and at the news of that, the Lord went out to begin to proclaim the gospel. And as he continued to proclaim the gospel, he went to the Sea of Galilee, continuing to say, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And then he saw Peter and Andrew fishing or mending their nets, and he said to them, "Come and follow me." He went further down, saw James and John mending theirs, and he called out to them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The proclamation of the gospel is preeminent to anybody following Christ. And in that proclamation of the gospel is the core of the need of repentance for all of us. And the beauty of that message of repentance is a great awareness that this world is passing away, but the kingdom of God is at hand, which in the light of our sin should give us great hope. And I think that proclamation of the gospel is important primarily for vocations. Well, it's important always. But in the realm of men and women discerning and discovering their vocation, they have to hear the word of God. They have to, through that knowledge of Christ, come to encounter the person. And so, for the families who are here, you are a massive part in that proclamation of the gospel, of helping your children come to know the truth of Christ. So as the Lord went out to proclaim the message, he began to proclaim the message. Last week's gospel was Andrew encountering Christ and inviting Peter to come and see the Christ. And so this is not in today's gospel, this is not the first time that Peter, Andrew, James, and John have encountered him. They would have known him. And then Christ calls out to them, "Come and follow me." And immediately they leave their boats, their father for James and John, and immediately they follow him. This immediate following carries with it two of the important aspects of any consecrated life. That is poverty and obedience. They leave everything and they are obedient to the invitation, "Come and follow me." And it is an immediate response. I find myself in a very unique role. The bishop has given me the responsibility of doing just what the Lord did in the gospel. Going out, finding young men and women, but for the priesthood in particular, for men, saying, come and follow me. That's the way it happens. And so, this is my invitation to all the young men here, any who might be watching. This is in real time, the Lord asking you, come and follow me. And it is not just to come and follow me into the priesthood. It is come and follow me. Come and see who Christ is. Come to know the kingdom that he is bringing into existence. Consecrate yourself to him. I just want to read just a couple of passages from Pope John Paul's apostolic exhortation, Vita Consecrata. It says, the consecrated life is a gift to the church. Its universal presence and the evangelical nature of its witness are clear evidence, if any were needed, that the consecrated life is not something isolated and marginal, but a reality which affects the whole church. In effect, the consecrated life is at the very heart of the church as a decisive element for her mission, since it manifests the inner nature of the Christian calling and the striving of the whole church as bride towards union with her one spouse. The evangelical basis of consecrated life is to be sought in the special relationship which Jesus in his earthly life established with some of his disciples. He called them not only to welcome the kingdom of God into their own lives, but also to put their lives at its service, leaving everything behind and closely imitating his own way of life. Sacred ministers, for their part, are living images of Christ, the head and shepherd, who guides his people during this time of already and not yet, as they await his coming in glory. It is the duty of the consecrated life to show that the incarnate Son of God is the eschatological goal towards which all things tend, the splendor before which every other light pales, and the infinite beauty which alone can fully satisfy the human heart. In the consecrated life, then, it is not only a matter of following Christ with one's whole heart, of loving him more than father or mother, more than son or daughter, for this is required of every disciple, but of living and expressing this by conforming one's whole existence to Christ in all-encompassing commitment, which foreshadows the eschatological perfection to the extent that this is possible in time and in accordance with the different charisms. By professing the evangelical counsels, consecrated persons not only make Christ the whole meaning of their lives, but strive to reproduce in themselves as far as possible that form of life which he, as the Son of God, accepted in entering this world. The beauty of consecrated life is that it gives witness of eternal life. And not just in what people say or do, but in the very fact that they have handed over their body, their heart, their mind, their soul, their energy, they have handed all that over in consecration and commitment to the Lord. It's our responsibility as consecrated to live up to that calling. It's a large calling. And yet, it is so important. So given our culture and kind of the darkness that is in it, I would say now is the time that we need consecrated men and women to follow after the Lord when he says, come and follow me. Because it is in that consecrated life that here in this world, Catholics and Christians alike have a model and are encouraged by the life that they live. And they are able to do it because they have encountered and come to know the pearl of great price. That is why any consecrated person, hopefully, is consecrated, because they give up the worldly aspects in order to give themselves more fully to Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, I just invite you to continue to pray. I know you already do pray for vocations, and I'm deeply grateful. But that you continue to pray for our young people, that in the midst of this darkness they might hear the Lord inviting them. And even if they do not consecrate themselves as consecrated persons, all people are called to be consecrated to the Lord and to follow him. And so I just ask for your prayers. And then also to pray for all priests and religious. I think for young people to say yes to the Lord, they need to have good models that show them the truth of the consecrated life, that we ourselves may live up to the consecration for which we have been called.